It's Friday, January 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, everyone, this is show number 443, and thank goodness it's Friday. It's been a very fast week here in Honolulu. Got a lot of stuff to talk to you about, so yes, of course. What do you got to do? Strap in, because here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show again. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, when you are over there, make sure you subscribe to the podcast via either iTunes, Zune, or the Zencast link, or just add the RSS feed, the podcast RSS feed, to your podcatcher. That will get you signed up for the show so you get it automatically downloaded to you. And of course, make sure you sign up for our newsletter as well so that you get the show notes of the podcast delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Hey, first things first, I need to apologize to everyone on show number 440. What was the last show? Show number 442. I had a little bit of audio problems. That was a first in a very long time. Something got away from me on the post-production. I did everything exactly the way I normally do. Haven't been able to find anything that's odd, so I'll be watching everything tonight. I know some of you were getting some audio that was over-modulated, so I apologize for that. And that's one thing, you know, after doing 440-some shows, you just get into this routine, and you automatically bounce the audio out, assuming it's going to be like it normally is. For those of you on Ustream, I want to welcome you to Ustream, of course. Welcome you to the live feed there. And, of course, I this show is normally consumed by those of my audience at geeknewscentral.com. And you guys are kind of along for the free ride today. Someone was asking what's up with the banner ads on Ustream. Well, that's the way they pay for their service and allow me to stream free. So let me go ahead and kind of give you guys an update on what's going on here. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a roundtable over at techpodcast.com. It's going to be Annie McCaskey from SDR News, Jeffrey Powers from geekazine.com, and myself. We're going to do a CES wrap-up show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of things to talk about for the roundtable this coming Saturday. So we hope that you'll join us 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. You'll be able to either join the live GoToMeeting session, or you'll be able to watch the stream right here at Geek News Central. We'll have the stream up live, of course, as well, and have everyone patched in. The first video is up at Geek News Central, actual product video. It's a video that we recorded the very first night at the Consumer Electronics Show. It was an interview I did with Shure. And you can check that out. It's going to give you an idea of the type of content that I'm going to be bringing to you. And I call this our primary channel content. It's all the content that we collected at CES 2009. You'll find this is basically what it's going to be. It's going to be product interviews, talking about price points, talking about new products. And I think this first video is a good representation of the content. Now, you will notice, those of you that are subscribed to the standard podcast feed, that this video did not automatically download. Now, if you want to get the videos automatically downloaded, what you need to do is you need to click on the special media link at geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the special media link, you'll see on the first column, you're going to see special media feeds. And what you want to do is you want to sign up for the one that says video RSS. That'll get you all of the feeds that are going to be delivered.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Whoa, where did that come from? Oh, that was I loaded the page and one of the previous videos started to load. So you'll see the video RSS feed there on the special media page. And Go ahead and subscribe to that particular RSS feed. That'll get you all of the MP4s that we put up on the on that particular feed for the interviews. But on the Geek News Central main website, all you're going to find are the embeds. You're more than welcome to take the embeds, put them on your website. Matter of fact, we encourage you to do so. There's going to be a lots and lots of videos that are going to be coming down. Now, if you are signed up for that special media feed, make sure, this is very important, make sure that you have your RSS aggregator to set up to get more than one or two at a time, okay? Make sure you select all. So, because if you don't, we're going to be pushing videos out so fast that you may miss a couple. So make sure you keep it loaded every day. We're going to be pumping out a couple, two, three videos a day here for probably the next month. So look forward to putting all that content out, and I got a lot of work ahead of me on that. Okay, what else? Of course, that meeting on, or actually that presentation on Sunday is sponsored by GoToMeeting. And really today, with business travel being a profitability killer, you know, you can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. It's the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, launch sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from your desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use. You have your first meeting running in seconds. Plus, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate, free voice IP, and phone conferencing included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's with an S. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central as well. Hey, what was I going to tell you guys? Oh, you know what? For those of you on YouTube, you may be able to see it, but I'm getting attacked by these really mini, on Ustream, you're getting attacked by these real mini little flies. I have no idea where they've come in. What's going on here is in Honolulu, we are under as close as we get to a severe storm warning. We have high wind warnings. I'm recording the show just a little bit early tonight for my time to get it in the bag. They're expecting us to get 60 to 80 mile an hour winds. It hasn't hit yet, but it seems that the animals are sensing something's coming, and the bugs too, because normally I can have the doors open in the house and we don't get inundated, but we did tonight. So I'm fending off these. They're just little tiny little things. They're annoying as heck. But hey, to all of you there on Ustream, got a bunch of people joining us. Thanks and welcome to the show. Got lots of great tech content to get into here in just a second. Of course, we want to thank our longtime sponsor, GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, make sure you get over to GoDaddy.com. And when you get to that checkout counter, use that promo code TODD. That's Todd. That'll save you 10% on orders, on all orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more, or the best one yet, 1 year shared hosting accounts. In other words, if you sign up for a 1 year shared hosting account, and you get to the checkout counter and you use the promo code Todd20, that'll save you a whopping 20% on your purchase. All right, let me go ahead here. And not a lot of news tonight, so we're going to get right into the content relatively early into the program today. I do have a number of voicemails to go through at the end of the show. I also have a number of emails to read. Got a lot of great content for you, lots of stuff in the news, and, of course, probably the biggest one. And for those of you that are on Ustream, you probably have been inundated with news about that already, is the news about Steve Jobs and his walking away for the time being from Apple due to health reasons. And it's just been the talk of the town today. And not only that, just, you know, really even last night, it was huge. It was a big, huge discussion online. So what does it mean for Apple? I don't know. Only time will tell here on that. So we'll see what happens with with basically what's going to happen with Apple over the next coming months. But there are some product-related news and information out today as well that I'll talk about a little later in the show. Also, Windows 7. Windows 7 is just getting a huge number of pretty much positive reviews. I've downloaded Windows 7 here. I've actually it's going to be going up on the same laptop that's going to be used with, as I promised all of you, I'm going to be running a version of Linux. So we're going to have basically a dual boot system going on where I can load Windows, load Linux on the other. So do a little bit of a head-to-head comparison with a lot of fun. but I'm looking forward to play with it. But the theory is out there that Windows 7 is going to make those of you that have a little bit older hardware, and I have a bunch of that here, feel like new again. And I mentioned during the last show that one of the very underpowered netbooks that I saw at CES was running Windows 7 quite handily, and people were pretty positive about the really the response rate and the ability of Windows 7 to run on that small device and not with a lot of horsepower under the hood. But one thing I've been reading here is it looks like those of you that have not upgraded to Vista, and I've got some machines here that have not been updated as well, they're saying that the upgrade path from XP to Windows 7 is going to be, how should I say it, I guess not as streamlined. What they're going to do is when you upgrade directly from XP to Windows 7, it's going to put everything that was in Windows XP in a folder called Windows.old. Now, it doesn't look to me like they're going to transition all of your applications. So this could be bad. It really could. Unless you have bought a machine and you have the Windows Vista copy, and let's say you downgraded from Windows Vista to XP, maybe what the upgrade path is end up going to be is going to be Windows XP to Windows Vista to Windows 7. Only time will tell here right now what's going to happen with that, but the rumor on the street is that the upgrade path is not going to be as transparent for Windows XP users as it will be for Windows Vista. So that is a, you know, that is going to be a bit of a challenge in that, you know, you're going to have to reinstall all your apps. And I don't know about you, but that just kind of scares me to death. It really does. So I'll have to see what happens here. Maybe I'll just let all the Windows XP machines die a graceful death over time and just come up on new machines when Windows 7 comes out. So that's kind of it on Windows 7. I got a couple more cool little things in relation to the Mac we'll talk about a little later as well. I've got an article over on hothardware.com that I want to talk to you a little bit about. It's talking about GPUs used to successfully cracking Wi-Fi passwords. And, you know, today's computational power of GPUs, and we've talked about that a little bit, being, in other words, graphic processors. Graphic processors are now being delivered on cards without video connections. So people are able to run these graphic processors as just a regular processor. But what they've done here is they were able to use an NVIDIA, and it's called an NVIDIA CUDA, and they were able to use Apple's OpenCL framework to make this GPU-assisted app come to a life and was able to provide the power behind this ability to crack Wi-Fi passwords. So we'll see more of these types of apps, and I think, of course, with the NVIDIA Ion that I talked about a little bit on the last show, and actually there's some big news about that. We're going to start seeing, NVIDIA and other companies bring more processors to market that we're all going to be able to use as computers in essence. So and be able to build cool apps on top of them. I'm pretty excited about that to see what – I just got one of those bugs. Yes, he flew right into my mouth. Wasn't that nice? Anyway, we'll have one of those GPUs and, you know, all kinds of little cool kits and stuff. It should be real interesting. But anyway, I have the link up to this, and I think we're going to start seeing a lot more in this in the near future. I found on Wired, it's a Wired Science article talking about handheld ultrasound, and basically components and computational power is getting to the point where a lot of medical devices are being downsized, and it's applications that could be used for army or military medics in the field to do ultrasound looks at a wound, or there's all kinds of different devices that are coming up on the biomedical front. And it's kind of cool to see what this is, what this market's going to turn into. But I think if I was a young person and I was looking for a career path that was going to be something that would be guaranteeing me a job for the next 40 years, I think I would be really looking heavily in the medical, biomedical field because, I got all these baby boomers that are getting older, and I'm right at the tail end of the baby boomer age. I think that a lot of us are going to be needing lots of medical care in the future, and biomedical stuff is going to be huge in that. You know, all of us are going to need pacemakers. We're going to, you know, all this stuff is going to be big, and the gear that's used to diagnose patients is going to continue to grow and get more advanced. I think there's a great career path for anybody that is looking for a new career path, especially with this downturn in the economy. Now, that's what I would do. If I was looking for a job, I would definitely go biomedical, and especially in the tech side, and see what I could churn up here. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. Here, of course, with Steve Jobs announcing his essentially five-month hiatus from Apple, lots of commentary, and probably the news spot that got the biggest amount of comments was on Newsweek's Dan Lyons. Now, Newsweek Dan Lyons is the guy that's behind fake Steve Jobs. He went on CNBC to talk with CNBC tech reporter Jim Goldman. And I've listened to Jim Goldman from time to time, and I'm not super impressed with some of his coverage. But they went head-to-head, and I'll have a link up here to Silicon Alley Insider. And if you listened or watched the YouTube video at the 3-minute and 33-second mark and watch from there forward, you'll see this basically – Dan Lyons has taken the host just a task in a big way, and it's hilarious. It really is to watch the back and forth between these two. But apparently, this guy at CNBC, this tech reporter Jim Goldman, was so incensed with the confrontation he had with Dan Lyons, is it's being reported, and I don't know how much truth there is to this because CNBC has not come out and actually said it, but it's appearing that CNBC may have banned Dan Lyons from their network for life based upon this this confrontation that happened. So, you know, if you go back and look at the history of what this guy from CNBC has been reporting, he's totally got pawned by Apple. He's been wrong a number of times on a number of issues in relation to Steve Jobs' health. So, you know, it was well worth Dan Lyons taking him to task. And I think that probably Jim Goldman will be a little bit careful, more careful in the future in talking to PR firms and companies and essentially drinking the Kool-Aid, as they would say. All right, let's go ahead and move on here off the Apple subject for a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit about an article that I found in Popular Mechanics. It's talking about CFL lights. Of course, that's compact fluorescent glowing. And compact fluorescent lighting, excuse me. But CFLs are, you know, are really probably bulbs that many of you now have in your homes. You all probably very much aware of the danger in these and when they break. But they've got a good article here as how to keep your compact fluorescents working in the best way possible. One thing I read was, is how many of you turn on a compact fluorescent, you turn on a light for a little bit, and then you turn it off real quick? Did you know that CFLs do not fare well when flicked on and off repeatedly? So if you have it like in a bathroom switch and they turn it on, go in there for a few minutes, turn it off. CFLs are best if they run for several hours. Even better if they're constantly running, but I think that kind of defeats the purpose of them. So they're saying that you could get as many as 18,000 hours out of a CFL if you let it running 12 to 24 hours at a time. And I think that's the same with a lot of lights. If they're on and off a lot, that heat and cooling that goes on, it definitely causes the lifespan to be less. Of course, also picking the right bulb for the right job. And, of course, paying the price for good bulbs. And, of course, this is a pretty good article. So if those of you are still looking to make the CFL leap or you're looking a way to get more bang for your buck and use them more effectively, this is a very good article on Popular Mechanics. Those of you that are on Ustream, if you're writing me anything in the IRC, I generally do not look at the IRC during the show. I will try to go back at the end and actually make comments. I see we got a pretty good chat going on in there. So I apologize if I miss something that you said. If I happen to peek over and notice it, I'll make a comment on it. But generally, I've just got too many things going on here to do that. Over on the dailygalaxy.com, they've got a pretty good article about, are we close to creating superhumans? And it's a little bit of an insight into what's going on with science and the gene therapy and everything else that's being considered these days. And it's pretty amazing. I've read a number of those of you that read a lot of sci-fi books, I've read some sci-fi books that really talk about this extensively. And it only makes sense with time for scientists to be able to get close to, you know, making us a little stronger, a little faster, make our skin a little more resilient for a number of years, all through gene therapy. You know, there's lots of things that could be done. Night vision, you know, just imagine if you had night vision. I don't know if many of us would want it, but all types of different things that they can do through gene therapy or even, I guess, for a better word, mutations. But at what point do we get to the point where humans become, you know, basically programmed? Are we getting close to that point? How many years away are we from it? It's definitely an interesting concept to think about. There's lots of implications as well from, you know, an ideology standpoint. You know, there's just a lot of things that would have to be really, I think the opinion of the world and people in the world would have to change quite a bit for this to become readily accepted, because I think most people would really not want to see it happening. But what they're seeing, and the reason I wanted to talk about this particular article, is that they're seeing that animals are now evolving at much, much higher rates than what would have been expected through natural evolution. And the scientists are looking back at the evolution of some animal species, and they're finding that, for example, deer, buffalo, animals that are hunted on a regular basis by hunters, you know, hunters, what do they look for? They look for the biggest deer. They look for the biggest ram, you know, whatever they're hunting. So what do they have a tendency to do? They have a tendency to take these bigger animals, and really what happens is these animals are taken out and they're no longer contributing to the gene pool. Thus, the weaker or smaller smaller animals are getting their genes into the gene pool more, and which is causing animal species to change. So will we get to a point where the humans are, you know, there's those that have and those that have not based upon, you know, what type of gene therapy they get? It's probably a good conversation point. And probably could spend a lot of time on that. But if you got comments on today's show, you can always send me email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners to the show. I don't want to forget to talk to you guys a little bit. Thanks for staying subscribed and, of course, being here and spreading the word about the show. Okay, moving on. In New Scientist, at newscientist.com, this is a deep one, folks, and I'm not even going to get into the specifics of it. And I think the title will entice enough of you to go read it. And if you get it figured out exactly what they're trying to describe here, send me a Reader's Digest version of this. But here's the title of this article: Our World May Be a Giant Hologram. And this all... What has prompted this article was that for the past 7 years, in a small little town in Germany, a group of scientists had been looking for gravitational waves, in other words, ripples in the space-time, I repeat that, ripples in space-time, which is thrown off by super dense astronomical objects such as neutron stars and black holes. The project is known as GEO-600, has not detected any of these quote-unquote gravitational waves so far, but they have made some discoveries over some inexplicable noise that is plaguing the giant detector. And make a long story short, some real thick-headed scientists have said, hey, this may explain some other things we've known from the 70s, and it all ties it back to living in a world in which it might be a giant hologram. Now, yeah, it's deep. I'll let you guys read it. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Of course, for those of you on the newsletter, you already have that in your inbox, and you guys can kind of go decipher that yourself. I'm not even going to try. I read through the whole article, and I was like, okay, definitely not talking at my level. Those of you that have family members that have Windows machines, please, please, please tell them to make sure they're doing their auto updates. There's a new worm out that has infected 1.1 million Windows PCs in the past 24 hours. It's a computer worm that exploits something that's in Windows that's been patched for months, and they think that as many as 3.5 million PCs could have been compromised, but they know for sure that at least 1.1 million have been compromised since Tuesday. So, you know, tell your family members, your friends, people you work with, you know, make sure they're auto-updating the machines. It's really dumb not to do that. Okay, moving in here into a little more Apple information, and it seems like I found a lot of stuff on Apple tonight, and I know those of you, many of you that listen to the show are primarily Windows users. But if you have bought a Acer Triple E PC recently, you will be happy to know that Apple's share of the U.S. PC market has slipped to 8% because of Acer. It appears that during the first fourth quarter calendar of 2008, Apple slipped from 9.8% a market share to about 8%, largely because of the super growth of the netbook PCs that Acer is very, very aggressively marketing. Now, when we walked through the Acer booth, I have to admit, I was pretty surprised. They have definitely, this is the market that they are have heavily targeted. There was nothing but, it was netbook mania. But one thing that they have not done a real good job in marketing, we saw Acer touchscreen computers there at a very low price point. Very cool. Very cool. So if you're thinking about buying a touchscreen computer for like the kitchen or to hang on the refrigerator, Acer has a very interesting line of touchscreen computers that are kind of like the HP TouchSmart, but smaller and cheaper. So definitely check it out. But anyway, Apple's share of the U.S. PC market has slipped 8% at the hands of Acer. And based upon the number of machines and the bigger booth that they had at CES 2009, I am not at all surprised at all at that. All right, for those of you on Ustream, I'll give you a little different view here. Kind of give you a back view of the studio as you're looking down on the Mission Control Center here. All right, moving on. How many of you are familiar with DigDot? DigDot.us. This is a site that really did a good job at aggregating stuff on Dig. Well, Dig over the past, I guess for a while now, has went after them, and they had to rename, and along with a lot of other sites. But I've started to see now, when I'm looking at articles on Dig, that they are now going to dog.us.blogspot.com. So I don't fully understand the whole story on that, dog, D-O-G-G.us. Did that make sense? Dog, D-O-T.us. Okay, there we go. How many of you use DigDot in the past? And how many of you are seeing more of this, more of these redirects going to this website that no longer exists? And they've actually made the change for a while now, and I've been seeing a lot of it. So I'm kind of curious if anyone else has as well. Hey, big news out in New York City, of course, is the crash or the water landing in the 35 degree water of the U.S. Airways jet that apparently took a flock of geese up the intake of the engine and fotted the motor out, causing the crash landing. At least that's speculation. But airplane crashes happen from time to time. But what was interesting was I was watching my Twitter stream, and I also had the news up at the same time, and I says, all of a sudden I get this, there's a plane in the Hudson in New York City and a picture of the plane in the water. So I automatically loaded this up, and it was a twit pic from twitpic.com. And this guy was out on a ferry and then crossing the Hudson. I guess he was going from New York to Jersey. And sure enough, they were the first on the scenes. And this guy took his Apple iPhone, snapped the picture of the aircraft in the water, punched it to TwitPic, did a little twit with it, and beat the news by about 5 minutes. So, citizen journalism, I guess, once again, smokes the regular news. It's not surprising with the proliferation of devices these days. The news can't be everywhere, but we can be everywhere they can't be. So, Kind of cool to see that happen. I think we're going to see this a lot more here in the future. But the pilot did a great job. He was able to, get the plane down it safely. It didn't break up, got everybody out. There was a little bit of water in the airplane. The pilot went through a couple times. But these folks are really, really lucky. They really were. And the airplane essentially floated for a while now, which kind of surprised me because they must have had a low fuel load on, because normally you think after they initially take off, they would be full of gas and think the aircraft would sink. And I'm just looking at this picture. I'm not even seeing fuel on the surface. So they actually towed the aircraft to a pier and off of Manhattan. So the NTSB is going to be over there. It'd be fun to see that, getting that airplane out of the water. That's for sure. So anyway, a good job by the pilot, and those folks were lucky. And they got a tale to tell. All right, Google and Seagate have cut staff while Microsoft is still looking at the options on laying people off. Not only did we wake up to find someone other than Steve Jobs running Apple, and of course with Palm last week making a run at them, we are hearing that Google, Seagate have decided to let some people go. Of course, the Google layoffs is probably the one that surprised me the most. Now, they've only laid off 100 people, and they happen to be recruiters, employment recruiters. And some of those folks have been able to find jobs in other divisions at Google. But Microsoft may be next in the job cut realm. And, this just continues to grow and the number of people being laid off. Haven't heard too many people from now, I have actually been getting some private emails from people saying, Todd, I got laid off. Please don't talk about it on the air. We're doing this. And it's very interesting that I'm getting emails from a lot of men saying I have been laid off and I don't want to talk about it. And I was actually talking to Andy about this when we were out at CES. And he says, now, fellas, you need to listen here. He says that many men will go weeks and sometimes months before they tell their significant other that they've been laid off. And they actually counsel people when they lay them off on making sure that they go home and tell their families. So it's interesting that I've gotten some emails from people saying, Todd, don't say anything to anybody, making me wonder if some of our listeners are in that category. Fellas, I know it sucks. I know it makes our pride hurt when we're laid off. But please don't, get busy networking right away. Use your family support system to do that. And if you're not telling your significant other, please do so. Please. Because they can help you. They really can. And I think it's a man pride type of thing. And be careful out there, okay? And, don't go wandering for several months. Go into the coffee shop. You got to get busy right away. Start networking to get reemployed. So if anyone is in that situation, the only reason I say this is because of the way the emails have read from people that I've gotten them from, really not wanting me to talk at all about their circumstances. And I just, maybe it's not the case. And again, I apologize if I've categorized somebody incorrectly, but with all these cuts going on, a lot of us are going to be in the hurt locker here, and we need to network. If you are been laid off, you can help use this show. I can use this show to help you find work. Okay. So, send me, if you're out of work, send me your resume and tell me what work you're looking for. And I will, as a public service to this, in this podcast, part of this Ohana, I will say, okay, we got somebody in this area that's looking for this type of work. Let's network together here and help each other out. Okay. So don't be afraid to send me an email. Tell me what type of work you're looking for, what area you're in, whether or not you're willing to relocate or not. There's a huge, huge, huge listening audience here. We got a few viewers on Ustream right now, but that's always the way it is because I record late in the United States time. But we got a worldwide audience. Lots of people may be looking for somebody very specific, and I hope I can help you out here. So please email me if you're in that situation. All right, let's move on to another more upbeat topic here. Apple's revealed the 17-inch MacBook Pro battery placement details. If you have purchased, like I have, for my wife, a 17-inch, excuse me, she didn't get a 17-inch. She got the size smaller, 15 or whatever it is. She got a 15-inch MacBook Pro battery, a MacBook Pro, and But if you have a 17-inch, you are going to have to pay $179 plus tax for the replacement battery when that baby dies and you can't pop it out. Okay, so $179 is the price. Matter of fact, I haven't even looked. Maybe hers is the same way. I don't know. But same-day turnaround service at an Apple store, or about a week turnaround to get it replaced. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of aftermarket companies that are cutting them up. But can you imagine having to live without your notebook for a week? I don't get that. I really don't. I'm sure what people are going to do is they'll be like, I'll just run it on power cord. And there'll be a lot of people that will never probably upgrade or get their battery replaced once it goes bad. I just don't get what Apple is thinking there. A Motorola, they're another, of course, I don't think we should be surprised here. Motorola has pretty much lost their mojo when it comes to the mobile market. They're laying off another 4,000 people. So it's just the beat continues on this dreadful news on layoffs. On Gizmodo, how to install Windows 7 on your Mac using Bootcamp. So if you are a Mac users and you're want to take a look at Windows 7, there, and if you have a spare 10 gigs on your hard drive, along with a DVD burner, there is a way for you to join the Win 7 party for free if you're using Bootcamp. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. Hey, there's a judge that is not real happy with the RIAA, and he has agreed to allow a case that the RIAA is going to trial on. He's going to allow it to be streamed live on the internet. This is going to be cool. It appears that a feed provided by Courtroom View Network will cover every thrilling up and down of the case, which involves the RIAA suing BU student Joe Tenenbaum. So the RIAA, of course, opposed a live broadcast, but the judge thinks that it should be broadcast live. So the case is set to start at 2 p.m. on January 22nd. So mark your calendars, of course, for the hot courtroom action that will probably take place. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people watching there for sure. All right. We talked a little bit on the last show about that gal that did like 14,000 text messages. Well, Sprint has confirmed, fellas and ladies, moms and dads, Sprint has confirmed that a 14-year-old Florida girl sent and received 35,463 text messages, not just 1 month in a row, but 2 months in a row. Oh my goodness. 35,463 text messages. Somebody do the math quick. And how many text messages is that every minute? Now, some other dude went for a Guinness World Record, and he managed to send 182,689 messages in a single month. He probably, what he did is he probably had like 500 people in his list, you know, 500 people that was actually in his phone book, and he probably sent one text message to 500 of them. But this 14-year-old sending 35,000, come on, get a life. It's nuts. You thought we were IM addicts? You know, this is going to be a 12-step program for instant messaging. Okay, talked a little bit about the NVIDIA Ion. Well, it appears that either the Mac Mini or the Apple TV is going to be getting new guts. And the new guts to the Apple TV or the Mac Mini is apparently the NVIDIA Ion. This is cool. This really will be cool. Again, I saw NVIDIA Ion mock-up at CES. The form factor will definitely shrink on the Mac. This is going to be really cool if they do this. So we'll see what happens there. Oh, and by the way, a little bit update on how I'm feeling. Hey, Andy, I know you're listening. Andy the cameraman, Andy the medical doctor, the guy that was with us at CES, the Z-Pack, man, that was it. I am much better. So thank you very much for attending to my health while we were at CES and doing a little doctor's call there. It made all the difference. It really did. And along with the inhaler as well. That was just a little bit still hanging, but everything else is good. So after 3 weeks, I'm finally rid of whatever it was. All right, TechCrunch has got an article on, and this may not interest many of you, but there is some data showing that video ad rates have came down 25% in the fourth quarter. And based on some of the things I've seen, this looks like a pretty accurate number. They have seen as much of they have seen as much as 50% decreases in some markets, and then pre-roll stuff is down as not as much, 14%. So it is showing that there is some shrinkage in the CPM rates that's out there right now. So it's going to hurt some people in their pocketbooks. You know, a lot of these content creators, it's going to hurt them a lot. All right, let me go ahead and got a little news on Google. If you are a Dodgeball, a Jaiku, you are a Google Video, or other type of one of these other products that Google basically has put on the chopping block, Google has announced some huge reductions in product development on a number of services. Jaiku is one of them, Dodgeball, the Mashup Editor, Google Notebook, Catalog Search. Also, Google Video is going to have its upload capabilities disabled. So these are all things that are going to go bye-bye or no longer be developed. And what's interesting is, you know, Google bought Jaiku recently, and it was being ported into the Google App Engine. And now it's going to be released as an open source project on Google Code. And there's going to be no further development from Google. So I think it's exciting, though, that they are going to be releasing the code as open source. That is going to be big. If you're a stats junkie, that is going to be real. It's going to be big. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. And kind of question on Ustream, but I don't have time to answer that, eChild. And I don't really do Ustream support here. On the science front, Discovery rolled out to the launch pad. The Space Shuttle Discovery was rolled out on Wednesday as a preparation to continue for its launch next month to the International Space Station. We've got a scheduled liftoff on February 12th on mission STS-119 to the ISS, and the crew is going to be installing the S-6 truss segment on the station and deploy its solar arrays and also exchange one member of the station's crew. So February launch for Discovery. Along with that, there's a – actually, this is kind of a – this is a totally different topic, so I'm changing up here real quick. There's a fair use article, and actually I got a fair use article from one of our listeners that will be up in the listener section of the podcast tonight in the show notes. I'm not going to cover it here in the show, but you need to read the fair use article that will be labeled in the listener section of the show notes. A really great article. But there's an article on Ars Technica talking about fair use and YouTube. Did you know that if you put videos up on YouTube on a regular basis and you got 3 DMCA takedown notices, that YouTube closes your account? I did not know this. There's a gentleman who is a film critic, and he's a blogger, and he was better known for watching about 1,000 films and making reviews of each one of them. And he had a huge amount of content up on YouTube, and then he got a DMC takedown notice by a review he did on a movie recently, and Google shuttered his account. I'm going to tell you, this is a wake-up call for all of you that are putting video on any source. And this includes, like, you know, I'm putting video up on Blip. You better have the ability to put that content in a place and stream it on your own without the without YouTube or Blip or any of these other folks. As I'm creating all my videos that I've done of CS2009, not only do I upload them to Blip and let Blip do the flash encoding and make available the MP3 for people that want to get the audio portion of it, but I also, here locally, also create my own flash file, and I have that on a hard drive. So, you know, if any of these services ever go down, it's just a matter of uploading, changing a little bit of a code clip through the database system, and bam, I'm back in business. So it's why I've never really pointed people towards the content that I create off my website. This is why I build my brand, and that's why you should build your brand too. Now, if you want to, we use YouTube, and we use Blip, and we use all the other services out there. Use Ustream right now. If you are, let me give you a different view here. if you guys are in a position to have your own website up, do that. You know, build your own brand. Don't build someone else's, for sure. All right, Intel. Man, big news about Intel. Matter of fact, the stock is seeing a little bit of a hit too. Intel profit has shrunk by 90%. The chipmaker says weak demand and inventory contraction hurt fourth quarter earning results. And it reported a 90% drop in fourth quarter earnings. Wow. Now, I wonder if they've reduced inventory and if they'll bounce back in the next quarter. I would almost think that they would have to. 90%. 90%. That is, I think that's the biggest number I've heard. Of course, well, at least it's not a negative, you know, in the sense that they still made a little bit of a profit. That's just, that's crazy. Now, to give you an example, sales in the quarter fell 23% to $8.2 billion from $10.7 billion a year ago, and which resulted their share price by about 4 cents, I guess. So, as a disclaimer here, I am an Intel stock owner. So, but still, that's a whack. It really is. All right, Sprint. Oh my goodness, if you're looking for a price war with mobile phones, I think Sprint set the bar today. Sprint Nextel's prepaid mobile unit launched a $50 a month nationwide unlimited calling plan today. That's huge. Now, again, this is the prepaid mobile unit launched a $50 a month nationwide unlimited calling plan. That's big. The price point is a new low in the wireless market, where even Sprint's own flagship brand charges $99 for its Simply Everything plan, and where comparable value-oriented plans from MetroPCS and Leap are in the $60 range. Unlike Metro and Leap, however, the new Boost plan doesn't have regional restrictions, putting it more directly in competition with Verizon, AT&T, Mobile. This is a quote from a marketing analysis. And so I'm going to get more details on this, but $50 for an unlimited plan, and Sprint's getting aggressive. They really, really are. Okay, we're moving on here. Last article of the night, and so the show's sort of 46 minutes, but we got some audio and comments to talk about as well. You know, one thing I love about where we are at today in actually creating media and putting stuff online is that students have gotten pretty smart. And I just have to applaud these high school students out. Let me see what the name of the town is. Does it even say? Faribault, Minnesota. It's a student newspaper that was being produced in the school. And the students did a survey and found out, I guess they had some negative results to the survey, which the principal was not very happy about. And the principal asked for some details, and the students basically said, no, you're not getting the details. And they wouldn't share the results of their investigative report. That's how they word it here in the actual on the actual website. But he got so mad at them, he says, okay, fine, I'm going to shut the student newspaper down. Well, being very very organized and very online-like, the kids basically went that evening and set up their own online website, and they got it hosted for free by a group that actually helps student newspapers do that type of stuff. And they're up and running and basically told the, you know, bypassed the school administration completely. Now, the thing I think is funny here is the student advisor, or actually the teacher advisor, is still going to be working with them on a limited basis. So this is big. This is, you know, I applaud them. And I'm sure that school administrator is like fuming. I can only imagine. So anyway, that's nice to see that the kids have got it figured out. And if my kids were in that situation, and I'd be right in there helping them. I'm like, hey, you know, you can do this online. You can bypass the school completely, and there's nothing they can say about it. All right, let me go ahead and get into the actual voicemail I've got. I have not previewed this 1:26. So hopefully it's not someone just calling for some info. We'll find out real quick here. I may have to chop this. But I have some email comments after the voicemail. So let's go ahead and roll with this thing.
Hey, Todd. It's Tom calling from a very cold, windy city, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, look at you, some of your warm weather right now. I think it's about -4.
Oh, sorry.
Like
80.
Weather. But welcome back from CES. I am so sorry to hear that you got voicemail or you got people giving you a hard time about not producing content and not getting it out. That just seems very unfair, and I think your message is very well put. It's unfortunate that you got to deal with that, and I don't think that's right. So I enjoyed what I watched online, and I enjoyed waiting, and for the podcast this week and getting a recap, and it sounds like you guys had a great time. Thanks for bringing it to us. Regarding the Rubik's Cube. Okay, I got one when I was a kid. I took the thing apart. You can take those things apart, and then you just kind of snap them all back together again, and away you go. It's very easy. So it took me maybe 5-10 minutes to do it. That's how I do it, and I will never spend any more time trying to do the Rubik's Cube. 26 years. Oh, my goodness. Too bad. Anyway. Well, welcome back again. Just hang in there. There will be a time when you have a little more time on your hand and it'll all come together. Okay, Todd? Take care. Stay warm. Send some of that Hawaiian weather our way. Bye-bye.
You know, my mom's here right now from Michigan. And my mom's here from Michigan right now, and we were talking about the cold weather. I'm like, I got someone checking on the house, Mom, because I know you turned the thermostat down before you left, and I'm hoping the house is keeping up. So she had someone check on her house, and it was warm enough, and basically nothing going on there, but -4. Oh, I'm sitting here in T-shirt and shorts, even though that we got this wind coming. It's still warm. It's still nice. So I'm sorry. I know you really feel bad for me. I do feel bad for all of you in that real cold weather, though. That just sucks. It really does. So anyway, thanks for the call. And, as far as the comments go, yeah, it comes with the territory. But, I take the good with the bad. And I basically I don't leave any comments off the show. So we got a couple of feedbacks tonight for some folks, and we'll just kind of go through these. And again, everyone is allowed to, have opinion and voice what they think about the show. That's what being part of the Ohana is all about, being part of the family here. You have the right to, basically as a typical family member say, hey, I don't like what you're doing, or I wish you'd switch this. But in the end, again, it's my show. So it is what it is. And, I try to make small adjustments from time to time with the podcast, and you guys probably don't hardly see them. They're very subtle changes. I love the format. It's easy for me to work. So far as the CES stuff goes, here I am. I finally kind of got recovered this week, and I'm starting to push up videos. And, the first video is up on the website, the Shure interview. It's a real good one, and there's going to be a lot more just like that. So, make sure everyone's visiting the website, and we'll trickle these out to you. And there's a strategy behind that as well, so we'll talk about that in the future on why I trickle the videos out. But let's go ahead and get into the emails. Got an email from Jim. He said, hey, Todd, too late to make it on the show for Tuesday, maybe next Friday. What do you think? He goes, Apple allows third-party web browsers into the App Store. Well, I think basically what happened there, Jim, was Apple got so much heat for it, they internally had to make a decision whether or not whether or not they were going to try to play a little bit nice and let some other browsers in. So we'll see what happens with this. Of course, that was up on MacRumors.com. I'll have the link up to that in the show notes. Got an email from Mark. He says, hey, Todd, your general interest stories are great. It's funny when you go off on a tangent. If people don't like it, then tell them to take a hike. I can't believe they're complaining about something that is free. Maybe if they paid for content, I could see them being mad at your general interest stories, but they don't. So feel free to talk about anything you want. I will still be here every Tuesday and Friday listening to the great show. Keep up the great work as always. Oh, yeah. Also on the Christmas podcast, I thought you played a CD of someone playing Malik a Christmas song, and your son sang it. But no. He says, but when I found out he was playing the ukulele, I was very impressed. You said the braga. Is the braga the same as the ukulele? I don't know. But he was playing the ukulele. If he keeps it up one day, he'll be just as good as Israel I am terrible at these Hawaiian names. You've got it better than me, my friend. But yes, Israel. Everyone knows who Israel is in the Hawaiian music scene. Also, you should just separate email account for haters, like hatemail@geeknewscentral.com. That way you don't have to read it. You can just delete it, whatever said in the account. So, no, we're not going to have any hate mail at Geek News Central. That's not what it is. Hate mail can still be at email.com. But, you know, they're not haters. They're just listeners who have opinions. And, you know, everyone is you know, this is a show that allows it. But, you know, speaking of paid content, I would be happy to put together a show that was 100% tech if I could get 100 to 200 listeners to pony up and say, yeah, I will support a paid show. I'll take all advertising out of it, and it'll be just tech only. I'm getting attacked by these flies here, or whatever they are, driving me crazy. I need to get some bug spray. But, you know, but again, that's a lot of work, and it would have to be a significant number of listeners that would do that in order to make it worth my time to do it, because it's all about time here. I got a family, you know, and I stay busy with everything else. But I've floated this idea before, and very, 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 very few people have ever said, yes, we'll pony up $10 a month or something like that. Because guess what? It's a free show, so they can go somewhere else and get more content. That's just the way it works. And so I just don't think it would ever work to have a premium. It's not even premium. It would just be tech, because I wouldn't make a separate show. I really wouldn't. It would just be this show with the junk content. You know what you can do? You start to play the podcast, and you can go fast forward, usually 8 to 15 minutes, and then you get right in the tech. So, yeah, that's the easiest way, and it's free. All right, moving on here. I got my email from Michael. Hey, Todd, just want to chime in on people complaining about how you take about 10 to 15 minutes of the show to cover stuff that's not always tech. He says, these people need to take a deep breath and enjoy life a little. I enjoy hearing things about your family and home state. It's what makes your podcast different from other media. It's normal life that gets people to create tech to make it more enjoyable. When you covered CES, I really enjoyed you showing that what you lug around to make it all happen. I attend local computer fairs, and I can't even imagine making professional videos about those shows. Keep up the great work, and don't take those negative comments to heart. You'll find that you have a lot more people enjoying them than the ones complaining. And thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Got an email from Keith. He says, hey, Todd, here's another one. And it's a Snopes verified Trojan horse. And it goes on here, it's a serious virus threat. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. And if you get an email with the subject line Obama acceptance speech, be very careful. It's got a Trojan horse attached to it. So I have the link up to it in the show notes. Got an email from Jim on Windows 7. Todd, you're not going to believe what I did. I installed Windows 7 beta on my MacBook, and I have to say it works pretty good. I followed the directions on this website, and he got the information off of ourcoffeestops.com. And so anyway, if you're looking to put Windows 7 on your MacBook, there's two different locations to check it out. I got a longtime listener sent me a comment, and I'm not even going to read his name because he's been a longtime listener, but you know, everyone has a right to, you know, making comments. He says, and I'll say his name's Robert. I would just use that in the email. He says, the latest podcast sounded like an invitation to complain. As they say, if you don't vote, you can't complain. I've never been a fan of the first 15 minutes of the show. I typically skip over it or scan through it to make certain there's nothing of interest. I'm indifferent about the general interest stuff, but I hate the space junk, pun intended. One thing that would help would be to organize the content, general tech space, into chunks or segments so that it would be easier to skip through the non-tech stuff. Yeah, I understand that, Robert, and I might look at doing that to help you guys out that don't want to hear about the space stuff. I think what it is when I load FeedDemon up, I'm just clicking as quick as I can to find the articles I want to talk about, and then rearranging them in a sequence is something that I probably should do but haven't. So, but it's a good suggestion. I do appreciate it. And again, yeah, that's a great way to do it. Just fast forward through the first 10 or 15 minutes. Got an email from Frank. He said, I like that you occasionally mix in general interest in science stories. An endless parade of tech only would be too boring for words. Besides, it's clear that you're interested in stuff other than tech. So are, I'm certain, the great majority of your listeners. I also like your openings. It adds humanity to you and your show. To those who complain about the story mix, say the Geek News Central podcast is Todd. Let Todd be Todd. If you don't like a story, well, that's what a fast forward is for. Keep up the good work and keep including some variety. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that. And Frank also sent the article on the net neutrality link, and it's a good one here that I want everyone to read. And the last one is I got a video comment. I haven't loaded this. And I got this from Jose. Let's see what happens here when I load this. And maybe we'll be able to hear it.
Hey, Todd. This is Jose Alvarez from the great state of California.
Hey, Jose.
I'm doing this video comment because I heard that you wanted to someone to do a video comment a couple episodes ago. And I'm doing this. I hope it works. If it doesn't, well, anyways, that's okay if it doesn't. If you can only maybe extract the audio from this video clip, that would be nice. But anyways, just wanted to leave a comment regarding the CES coverage that you guys did this year. Nice coverage. The background and everything, the content and everything. I really got a lot of info from you guys, you know, covering the different topics and everything this year's event. I really got a lot of information about the new tech and everything. And, you know, you guys really did a great job bringing that content to the audience and everything. And, you know, as I said, you know, I really got informed on the new tech and everything. So, keep up the good work and everything, and see you later.
Jose, that was cool. It really was. It was. I'll have to mess with the audio a little bit so that the people can hear it a little better. But watching you make the comment, that was cool. And it was up on YouTube. And I'll put the link up on YouTube so everyone else can see it. But, you know, put a face to the voice. That's awesome. That was really cool. I enjoyed that. I appreciate it. And thanks for the comments on CES. It's greatly appreciated. Okay, well, we're done here, folks. And we're an hour and 1 minute. Yes? Yes, we're done. Can you imagine? It's shocking, right? Okay. As always, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me. And thanks for staying subscribed. Tell people about the show. And again, apologize about the last show's audio. That I'll be monitoring it here for a while. That was a nice wake-up call. Seems like about every 80 or 90 shows, I need one of those kick in the butts to make sure that the audio stuff is good. But make sure you sign up for the newsletter. That way you'll get the show notes directly into your inbox. And you can follow along, or if you're listening, or you can catch it later, you can get the link to all the articles I've talked about in the show. Of course, again, thanks to Johanna for being part of the family here and staying subscribed. Those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging. I'll be going back and looking at the comments. Yeah, you guys saw the fly, right? You saw the fly on the video? Driving me crazy in here. It really is. You guys saw it on the close-up cameras, which you did. But for the rest of you, you guys just have to know that these things are just tiny little things, and I don't know where they came from, but they're about to meet the wrath of Raid. So I should have got that can before I started this thing. But anyway, that's it, and we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Hey, keep watching Geek News Central, and come join me on Saturday, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. Live stream will be up at techpodcast.com. Of course, you'll be able to join the GoToMeeting session. That'll be the best way to participate. A link to that is available on the blog at techpodcast.com. Come and hang out with Andy and Jeffrey and I for an hour. We'll talk about CES, answer any of your questions about the show. It should be a great roundtable. And we've all had some time to decompress and kind of breathe. So we've all been able to have a little time to gather our thoughts and know what we're going to kind of talk about. So, because it's just such a whirlwind of information when we're there. And I'm seeing stuff on videos now. I'm like, did I see that? It's kind of one of those things. But until next time, everyone take care. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Until next Tuesday, aloha.